Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, the security of WordPress. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast. And you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm very keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea on the show. Head over to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the contact form there. So, on the podcast today, we have Oliver Sild. Oliver has been working in the WordPress space for many years, and specifically with WordPress security, as one of the founders of PatchStack, formerly called WebArchs. PatchStack is a product which is designed to help you identify plugin vulnerabilities in your WordPress sites. Over the past couple of years, PatchStack has released an annual report about the state of WordPress security. The report for 2021 has just been released, and the podcast today is concerned with what they found out. We talk about why they produced this report, who the intended audience is, what are the main takeaways in terms of the overall security of WordPress core, plugins, and themes. We then get into more specific details about what types of vulnerabilities and attacks seem to be prevalent in the WordPress space. Are there any trends which are useful to think about? And how WordPress security is managed by the community as a whole? Are budgets and time typically allocated for prevention and restoration of websites? Towards the end, we talk about how some people have pushed back on the usefulness of the report. They've questioned the motivations of security companies to write such reports and the use of language which they contain. Do they paint a more negative picture in order to drive sales of their commercial solutions? If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all the links and the show notes by heading over to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all of the other episodes. And so, without further delay, I bring you Oliver Sild. I am joined on the podcast today by Oliver Sild. Hello, Oliver.
Hello, Nathan. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us today. Oliver Sild will no doubt be able to introduce himself, but I'll just do a very quick job. Oliver is, I believe, one of the founders, if not the founder, of PatchStack, formerly WebArchs, which is a security solution for WordPress websites, amongst other things. So my first question to you, Oliver, just give us a little bit of background, certainly more than I just provided. Tell us about your history with WordPress and how you came to be involved with WordPress.
Yeah, so in 2013, 2014, around that time, I was actually running a web development company. So we were mostly back then building websites in Joomla. And then I remember just at one point, you know, the demand on the market kind of changed and pretty much everyone wanted a WordPress site. So that kind of naturally moved us from Joomla to WordPress. And because our company was, we were calling our services like a secure web development. So what we wanted to do is that if we are building you something, we'll also make sure that it's, you know, the security side of that is covered as well. So we already had like some level of internal tools built, which were helping us to track what kind of software we were using on our different kind of customers' websites. And that eventually, well, by now has turned into what PatchStack is.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. So security is your thing. And very recently, there was a piece on the WP Tavern website, which I will link to a little bit later, which was highlighting the fact that you had released one of your annual reports. I believe we're on possibly the second iteration now. It's called The State of WordPress Security. And in this case, it was 2021. So it's a look back over the last year in WordPress security. And we'll go into that. And that really is the point of the podcast today. We're just going to sort of appraise all of the different bits and pieces that you highlighted there, because I'm imagining that most people listening to this podcast are deeply into WordPress, and this is obviously a seriously important side of any WordPress website, keeping it updated and secure. And then towards the end of the podcast, we'll go into a little bit of an exchange that happened over on a website where somebody called into question the language that you're using over here. But okay, so first thing I'm going to suggest then is that if you're listening to this, you may like to go to patchstack.com/whitepaper/the state of WordPress security in 2021. All of those words are separated by hyphens, and you're going to find the article that we're talking about. It's broken up into lots of different sections, but first question is, why are you making the efforts to write this report? Now, we know that you have a WordPress security company. That is your job. That's what you do. But why go to the lengths of illustrating what's going on in the WordPress space so that people like me, the general public, can consume it? It must require quite a lot of resources and effort.
Indeed, yeah. Like, I think we put that report together for 3 months. So it's quite in depth. By the way, if you want to quickly open up the white paper, you can just go to patchstack.com. We have like the banner on our front page that is actually linking to that. But that's just a side note. So yeah, we actually did that first last year. So we last year released one about the previous year. And we started doing that at the point where, as a company, we decided to kind of switch into a very specific focus on security vulnerabilities found in the software that is built for and around the WordPress ecosystem, which is, you know, the WordPress core, the plugins and themes in the WordPress.org repository, but also the WordPress plugins and themes that are built, you know, as a premium ones that are not in the WordPress repository, or the ones that are actually built or like being provided, you know, some other marketplaces like Envato and so on. And I mean, by doing that, we kind of switch the, like, we have a SaaS product that is providing, we have like a free version of a SaaS product where you can like just connect like 99 websites, for example, and have like a central overview if any of the plugins on any of your websites is becoming vulnerable. And at the same time, we kind of started, you know, looking into those different kind of popular plugins and if they are vulnerable or not. And for years, we've been providing kind of code review and security auditing services for plugins. So, I mean, by doing that over the time, what we've collected together is like a quite big database of security issues around the WordPress ecosystem. So if you go to patchstack.com/database, you actually see a full-blown list of all the security vulnerabilities that are in the plugins, themes, WordPress core, and, you know, so on. And last year, what we did is that we figured that, well, we understood already by doing surveys and so on that actually plugin vulnerabilities and theme vulnerabilities and like anything that you run on your website that becomes vulnerable is pretty much the number one security threat to the websites. And then we started a thing that we call today PatchStack Alliance, where we just decided to start building a community of ethical hackers who then submit vulnerabilities that they find to in any WordPress plugins in the ecosystem to us. We make sure that we help the plugin developer to fix those issues. And then we actually pay to those ethical hackers for the contribution that they make to the WordPress security. And that, on the other hand, generates a lot of data for us. So a lot of data about new vulnerabilities, a lot of data about, you know, what is actually happening in the ecosystem. And we just decided to pull all that information and data that we have collected over the, you know, over this time and make it into like a kind of annual report or a white paper.
Yeah, it's really definitely worth having a look at, because it portrays, obviously, now that you're in the second iteration of this, you're able to compare the way that things were last year. And in many ways, this is a comparison piece based upon last year. And so we often hear the phrases, you know, such and such a thing is up, such and such a thing is down. You know, you're looking for trends, basically. The main gist is three sections, as you described. We're talking about WordPress core, WordPress themes, and finally WordPress plugins. There's obviously a little bit of nuance in there. Do you want to illustrate for us what you've found to be the big highlight bullet items, if you like, for those three areas? So shall we start with core? Let's discuss what it is that you found over the last year in terms of the security or otherwise of WordPress core. To paraphrase, it seems pretty good.
I mean, yeah, like WordPress has quite mature, you know, software development cycle. WordPress, the core, I mean, also has a bug bounty program. They have the bounty program on HackerOne, who doesn't know what bug bounty program is, it's basically like you say to hackers, come hack my software. If you find something, report it directly to me so I can fix it and I will pay to you. So this is like the approach that is being is becoming very, very popular. That's not the same thing what we do to plugins, but WordPress has it for its own core. So they do that, which is nice because that is actually, you know, getting much more security attention on the WordPress core. And at the same time, we see less like major security vulnerabilities being discovered in the core itself. And something that we also like saw this year, which was a little bit different, was the dependency confusion attacks, where there was like a high risk of, you know, being maybe like a custom plugin being updated from the wrong source. I think the core had an interesting year, but what we see is in general that the core has a mature web, like mature development kind of processes and cycle in place, so it's getting better each year.
Yeah, I think in the year 2017, I believe it was, the bug bounty program began with HackerOne, and it would appear it seems to have worked, because over the years after that, there's been a fairly precipitous drop in the amount of concern with WordPress core. In fact, of the four security updates that were released in 2021, and again, we're talking about core, it would appear that only one of them had a critical vulnerability, which wasn't actually concerning something that was core. It was an insecure component. It was PHP mailer library, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, it was.
So that points to the idea that anybody these days is saying that WordPress itself is an insecure platform, which I'm sure we've all encountered when we've been building client websites and so on. People have this fear that WordPress itself is pretty insecure, and your document seems to imply exactly the opposite. It's very robust and very secure.
Yeah, and if you read our white paper, we actually say that, you know, we are saying that WordPress has done a very good job at that. I mean, WordPress is getting more and more security attention, obviously, as it's running, you know, soon almost like the half of the web, basically. So it makes sense that it gets more attention. More attention means more stuff is being found. More stuff being found means more stuff is fixed. And this is a good thing. So, and in terms of like the whole kind of mature way of how, you know, there's regular security updates and regular updates for the core itself, it kind of shows that the core is doing really well.
Do you want to illustrate for those people who perhaps aren't familiar, one of the headline paragraphs that you got right near the top is the dependency confusion attacks. Now, this may be something that people are very familiar with. I suspect maybe not. Do you just want to outline what those are and why you've illustrated it in the report this year?
Yeah, I mean, we called it the fear of dependency confusion attacks because we didn't really see any dependency confusion attacks in specifically. Like I was mentioning before, there was a risk where if you have a custom plugin that is not on the WordPress.org repo, and if you are adding a new plugin to the repo with the same slot that this custom plugin was using, then you could pretty much like overwrite the custom plugin on the websites that it was running at. So this was like a kind of risk where if, you know, there is like a plugin made by someone, maybe installed on like very high profile websites, this plugin is not known to the WP.org, or it is not on the WordPress.org repo, but someone made a plugin for with the same slug and it went past it. And then the auto-update mechanism in the WordPress core would basically update this plugin now, which was a core, which was a custom plugin, into the plugin that is now in the WordPress repository. So basically replacing someone else's plugin with, you know, a plugin made by another author. I mean, the content can be checked by the WordPress.org, like what actually this new plugin would do. But at the same time, it caused like a bit of a fear. I think a lot of people were afraid that this is going to affect everyone, but it was more of a theoretical thing that was a risk, but we didn't really see any of such attacks happening.
Yeah, in software in general, nothing to do with WordPress, this kind of supply chain attack is potentially a real problem, isn't it? Because if you can somehow become the official canonical source of the software, even though you are not the official canonical source of the software, you could, in theory, get to many, many places very, very quickly. And it's nice to see that you've not really found too much evidence of that over the last year. So WordPress core itself, I think it's fair to say you feel is in very good shape. The problems really for WordPress, and I'm sure this is something that many people can relate to if they've been using the software for any length of time. We're going to get into themes and plugins. This is where the problems begin to arise. Let's tackle them in turn. Let's go for themes first. What were the broad sweeping outlines that you discovered in your exploration of themes this year?
I think this has been happening over the time, but basically what we see is that the line between themes and plugins is a bit getting like blurrier and blurrier. Themes now use a lot of PHP code for, you know, as site builders are also kind of, I mean, people consider them themes in a way, but then at the same time, they're actually a plugin. So the line is getting blurrier and blurrier, and more PHP code is being introduced into the functionality of the themes, which basically brings the same kind of threats to the themes that we have with plugins, where there can be a kind of vulnerable PHP code that can be tricked doing something that was not meant to. And what we saw is that there are vulnerabilities within themes that are as critical as you could expect from the plugins. It isn't from this report, but I think a good example is, it was just recently with Freemius library, which was used by a lot of themes. And this is like exactly the supply chain issue, where not just like there's thousands of websites that are using one theme, and this, like, if this one theme becomes vulnerable, then all these thousands of websites are vulnerable, right? But now we're also seeing where there's thousands of themes, and all these themes use a library, and if this library gets vulnerable, then all these thousands of themes become vulnerable, and all those hundreds of thousands of websites that use these thousands of themes become vulnerable as well. So this, you can like see how this is coming like from top to the bottom and kind of eventually affecting a lot of websites. So as an example, last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the Freemius thing happened, I believe we added 1,800 different vulnerabilities or vulnerable components into Badgestack database in a single day. So next year is going to be definitely more, we have more data definitely from this year about theme vulnerabilities than we had from the past year.
There were a fair number of what you might describe as critical vulnerabilities. There's a list that you've described, depending on how interested you are in security, the names of these things may be of interest or otherwise, but things like unauthenticated arbitrary file upload and option deletion, that would appear to have been found, at least in your case, 10 times in 10 different themes. Unauthenticated upload vulnerability leading to remote code execution, which you found in one theme. Arbitrary file upload vulnerability, 42 themes were affected. So it's fairly widespread. And I guess if any of those themes are incredibly popular, that can quickly get out of hand.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if a single plugin that has, especially those unauthenticated vulnerabilities, are the scariest ones, because they require no access to the website, like any permissions to your websites, and someone could basically, the malicious hacker could potentially, you know, upload file to your site without having any access to the website, right? So these kind of vulnerabilities are very scary, as they can be abused automatically and on scale. So indeed, yeah, like if a single plugin would have 100,000 installation and it would have just this one vulnerability, especially if an unauthenticated one, then what we are seeing is that hackers very quickly build custom tools to start finding all the websites on the internet that use that theme, and then start exploiting them automatically to inject backdoors or redirect traffic from the website, change the search engine results for your website. So if you look at your website, everything seems to be okay. But if you Google your website, for example, then it would give completely different results and redirect your site to someone else.
Yeah. So is the trend in terms of themes, is your experience that there was more concern over the last year than there was in the previous 12 months, or is it essentially the same quantity of vulnerabilities?
I guess the trend is the fact that the vulnerabilities are just becoming a little bit more critical. I wouldn't say that there is a big trend in terms of finding like that there is like a massive increase in the vulnerabilities in themes, but I think the fact that so much more functionality is being shipped with the themes in terms of like the PHP code in general, then they are just more and more prone to, you know, being introduced or like introducing that kind of critical vulnerabilities into the code.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to WordPress plugins. And this, as one might expect, has possibly greater numbers attached to it. There's more plugins out there, and I would imagine that most websites have got one, possibly two themes, whereas they might have 15, 18, 20, whatever the average number now is, plugins. So there's probably a bit of a larger target painted on plugins back than there is on themes back. Give us the overarching findings in terms of WordPress plugins for 2021.
Yeah, I mean, plugins are the ones that we've been focusing the most on, and these are the ones that our like alliance members or like the community of the ethical hackers that are reporting new vulnerabilities to us. Majority of the vulnerabilities that are being reported to us are about the plugins. If we were looking about the total number of new vulnerabilities that we've added to the database of, you know, vulnerabilities that, you know, affect the WordPress core, plugins and themes, then there has been quite heavy increase in, if we compare it to the last year. But that means that is actually a very good news, because that means that these are vulnerabilities that the developer has been able to, you know, get fixed, because these vulnerabilities didn't like appear this year. These vulnerabilities probably, in many cases, for at least, they were sitting in those plugins for quite some time already. What just happened, why there is an increase in new identified vulnerabilities, is just the fact that there's more people looking at those and reporting them to the developers.
There was a couple of plugins, and I guess this is the difference with plugins, is that really the sky is the limit in terms of the numbers of installs. I don't know what the largest install base of any particular theme is, but I'm guessing it is nowhere near the install base of the largest WordPress plugins. And so there was a couple that you mentioned. In one case, one of the plugins that had a critical vulnerability this year was over 3 million website installs. And then there was another one with over 1 million. And so the seriousness of that is pretty obvious, I'm sure. The quantity of people that are affected. You seem to be sort of saying that in terms of the conscientiousness of the developers, you seem to be fairly happy with that, in that a lot of vulnerabilities got patched fairly quickly and disclosed in the appropriate way. However, we've still got this legacy of older plugins. In fact, you mentioned 9 that have been removed from the repository, completely gone from the repository, and yet have vulnerabilities which essentially are going to stick around forever.
Yeah, these are the most scariest ones. I mean, like in most cases, what we see is that the developers, you know, once a security report is being delivered to them, they look into it and they release a patch, right? So they fix it. In, you know, most cases, the vulnerability doesn't become, you know, publicly disclosed before that happens. Like, we also have our own disclosure policy where we just don't, like, we let the developer know about the vulnerability that was reported to us about, you know, his or her plugin. But at the same time, I mean, we keep it, you know, we don't publish that before we make sure that the developer have had enough time to fix that. And also after that, that they have time to let their own users know that there is a security update and they should basically, you know, update the sites as fast as possible, just to make sure that we don't cause any unwanted damage where this information might get in front of a wrong person, right? And what we wanted to do this year is we kind of counted all the critical vulnerabilities. And by critical, we mean the ones that are actually actually the vulnerabilities that have the characteristics that hackers would want to automate exploitation attempts. So that means that it's like usually unauthenticated vulnerability, that basically you can either inject something to the website, add a backdoor or something, and you can fully automate that. And there was, yeah, like, I think we counted, like, I think it was 35 different plugins that had that kind of vulnerabilities in last year. The kind of scary part was that quite many of them didn't really receive a fix at all. So yeah, these were the plugins where the developer was either, you know, had abandoned the plugin, was not active anymore. So in that sense, if you were running this plugin, for example, if you were part of those plugins that didn't ever receive a patch for this critical vulnerability, in your WordPress website, you would just see that everything is up to date. You would never see that there is an issue with this plugin unless you were being notified by like some security product or something that would say that, hey, there is a vulnerability in this plugin. So this is a bit scary.
Yeah, this I think we should dwell on this, actually, because it seems like this is a real failing, or at least an area of possible improvement in the future. So let's just reiterate what we've just said. So we've got a plugin which has discontinued support. There are no ongoing updates. For whatever reason, this plugin, which is in the repository, is stalled. Nobody's going to update it in the future. Now, at some point in the future, a vulnerability is discovered in it. It could be severe, it could be minor, it doesn't really matter. But the point being that any WordPress user would never be alerted to the fact that something here is awry and something needs updating, because the only mechanism we've got in the WordPress admin area is to see when things need updating. And so we update them. And if there's no update, the assumption would be, well, everything must be fine. How on earth do we overcome this problem in the future? Do you have any thoughts on a process that we could adopt or some direction of travel that we might move in to make this go away?
It requires a lot of awareness building around the ecosystem in general. We need to talk even more about the security in the WordPress ecosystem. We need to make sure that developers are also the ones that are not afraid to talk about security, because over the years, what we've seen is that a lot of the plugin developers specifically have been worried about even dealing with security issues because they don't want to be highlighted as, oh, this plugin had a vulnerability. So they see this as a negative kind of attention. In fact, for me, for example, I would completely, from the opposite side, see it as a very good sign that this developer actually, takes attention on security. But that's obviously because, from my end, I just see that there's so many vulnerabilities in, different plugins. And the fact that there's just increasing number of them now being reported from the last year in our white paper, for example, that's just the fact that more of them are being identified and being reacted on. It's not the fact that there's now, more of them. But yeah, at the same time, what I see constantly is that the developers don't need to be afraid of the security issues in a sense where they try to avoid those issues. And I think there should be even more and more open discussion about, hey, let's, together make the security in the plugins and in the software better. And I guess in terms of the core, I guess at one point core would need to have some level of security incorporated to basically give an insight on the plugins that are being used on the websites. I mean, for that specific reason, for example, because there's been so much people saying, even from the work, people that work in the WordPress.org, we've seen people saying that, yeah, basically you just need to, enable auto updates and you would be fine, right? But it's not true. It's just not true, because in many cases like that, you can have auto updates enabled. But yes, if there's no auto update, if there is no update for the plugin, basically you don't even know about the issue. So I guess, yeah, this is definitely something that needs attention over the years. We are doing our best, our product is actually literally kind of covering that area of letting the users know if there's a vulnerability, even if this plugin is being removed from the repo, or even if this plugin didn't even receive a patch. So we are letting our customer know about that, and we are also providing the virtual patch to protect against the attacks against these plugins. But at the same time, yeah, I think this is clearly an issue that needs more and more attention.
Yeah, it would be nice to come up with some kind of system which didn't break things, which enabled, I don't know, perhaps these particular plugins to be disabled in some way, removed. But then that, of course, has all sorts of implications in terms of the ownership of the site and whether you actually want people to have the capacity to be able to remove things from your website. People flock to WordPress because you get to own everything. It's yours and you can modify it as you like. And the idea that some plugin could be removed, disabled without your say-so is one that I'm sure the community would definitely want to have a long and deep conversation about. But interesting, you found 9 that had these problems this year, and there seemingly is no way of automating that problem to go away as yet. Okay, so we've dealt with core, we've dealt with themes and plugins and what I've just described as orphaned plugins. Let's just talk about the broad bits and pieces that your report highlighted this year. Some of it is good, some of it, I guess, is less good. But the first sort of headline piece is that you've definitely found that there was a rise in vulnerabilities found compared to 2022. On the face of it, that sounds like a bad thing, but you're saying that there were many more in the previous year than in the year prior to that.
Yeah, it's the best news of the white paper, to be honest, because that means that there was 150% more vulnerabilities being identified. Imagine if there was zero vulnerabilities being identified and all those vulnerabilities would just be sitting there still doing that, and just nobody would know about those until someone with malicious intention could just take advantage of them. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this year we are going to see even a bigger increase, because there's just so much more attention being put into identifying those vulnerabilities and kind of helping the plugin developers to make their code even more secure. We are for sure investing a lot into it with, you know, Patch Deck Alliance. Like last year, we paid out like 13K in the bounties for like individual ethical hackers who just let us know about vulnerabilities that they found in any plugins in the WordPress ecosystem, and we just paid them for that effort. So we're definitely going to double down this year on that as well. So we'll see how that will affect this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because on the face of it, if the number of vulnerabilities is larger, the immediate instinct around that is to assume that things have got worse. And of course, the statistics could be for all sorts of reasons. As you've just described, there's perhaps more eyeballs looking to discover these things. You know, there's initiatives like your own and the bug bounty, which have enabled people to actually feel that they're getting remunerated for that. And so they're more serious in the endeavor to search for them. But also, maybe it's a product of the fact that WordPress itself is just growing. And as it grows, there's going to be more eyeballs looking for these things, but also possibly it becomes a bigger target. And so there are more of these things out there. There's more plugins, there's more themes, there's more code, and it's just a sort of byproduct. But anyway, interesting take on it, definitely worth looking at. That was the rise in vulnerabilities. Now, onto more sort of specific details about what these type of vulnerabilities are. A significant proportion of the things that you concerned yourself this year with were XSS vulnerabilities, which is cross-site scripting. For those people who are not really familiar with that, would you just paint a picture of what cross-site scripting vulnerabilities are and any thoughts on why it represents almost 50% of everything that you're seeing?
I think cross-site scripting is just one of the kind of the easiest things to find in the web. You can kind of see cross-site scripting when, for example, you take like a website search bar. If you go to WordPress site and there's like a search bar, and if you, for example, write inside of this search bar like HTML code, for example, and then what happens is that the functionality that is searching this information from the site, for example, is going to show you the results, and this HTML code that you put there would then basically be meshed together with the kind of the code of the website, and it would just basically load it. I think actually even a better example would be with comments, where you have WordPress don't have that issue, but for example, earlier days, there was a lot of websites with kind of commenting section. And then if there was an issue where if you basically post a HTML code with some maybe JavaScript, something that was maybe popping up like an alert for you, and you post that comment there, then what would happen is that the site would then basically render that into as part of the code of the website. So when it was even saved in that case, then the site would basically load the code that was kind of posted there as actual comment. So yep. This is like a sanitation thing as well. So you want to make sure that you kind of make a difference between the actual code and what the content is that is being submitted to the website, or the input in that sense.
So it represents almost a majority, 49.8 something percent of everything you find. But I guess that is, as you describe, it's because it's relatively straightforward to pull off. And then possibly, well, at least from my perspective, the vulnerabilities then shrink in terms of percentage. And towards the very bottom, I guess the worst really that you could have is remote code execution. And that number is 0.94% of everything that you were looking at. So I guess there's some positive message to come out of there. Less than 1% of all the things were truly very serious indeed.
Yeah, indeed. I like, as always, like the easiest stuff comes out the first. So these are the ones that are usually reported the most, and that are mostly visible and accessible in terms of, for, you know, even a simple tinkerer can just submit something into a, you know, comment form and see if it's going to load something in a weird way. So this kind of vulnerabilities can be found very easily.
Yeah. Now, moving on to plugins, curious thing that you've discovered, again, from the data that you've managed to gather, is that there are actually fewer plugins in use, which you would imagine would reduce the attack surface. And so you would equally think that the number of things that you were having to clean up regularly or that you were discovering had been broken would go down. But it seems that there's a sting in the tail. So there's fewer plugins, but more of them are being left without being updated.
Indeed, yeah, this was an interesting find. I kind of expected, I do still kind of expect that the number of plugins, we're going to see this number dropping more and more, even, you know, in the upcoming years, as people are getting more and more aware around the security implications when you're just, you know, using a lot of plugins on the website. But I think it's also about the kind of hygiene thing there, where users are also not so prone anymore to leave like deactivated plugins just, you know, standing there on the website. So they're starting to delete those things. And I think people are seeing more and more that plugins, like each of the plugins that you install to your website can be like a link in, you know, can be a, like an entry point for an hacker if there is a vulnerability found in that specific plugin. So basically the less plugins you have, you reduce the risk significantly. So it was interesting, yes, to see that even though the number of plugins installed per website is actually dropping, but at the same time, the amount of plugins out of those that were outdated was actually higher.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure that what is like the actual cause of that, or if it's just like something that we see this year, but I think next year we're going to have more data to see more into why that could be.
Yeah, it's curious. On the 50,000 websites that you were analyzing in order to generate this report, down from 23 plugins and themes, now residing at about 18 different plugins and themes installed. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll revisit that next year and see where we're at. I guess this is a fairly obvious thing to say, but it was worth pointing out. The seventh point on your list of things was that the easy to exploit vulnerabilities remain the main targets, I suppose. Like I said, that's fairly straightforward.
Anything that is unauthenticated and basically that can be automated.
So it's old, tried and tested things that the hackers know can be achieved. They're going to go after the low-hanging fruit. And sadly, the eighth point that you make is that old vulnerabilities remain as great big targets. So things which could have been fixed from last year still are hanging out there and being exploited.
Yeah, indeed. I think very like big reason for that are all these automated hacking tools. I mean, that people download from GitHub or from, you know, hacking forums and places like that, where guys who, you know, sometimes kids who get into like, oh, I'm like looking into hacking or trying to kind of maybe, getting into that field, they are basically downloading software that is pre-built by someone, and there's someone made it at the point where there was specific, you know, vulnerabilities just introduced. So they have kind of hard-coded the exploitations into those tools, and these tools are still available. And some new people who are, you know, getting into the kind of dark side, I'd say, are then starting to play with those tools. So this is one of the reasons why we see that happening. We've seen a few of those tools as well, and this kind of proves the point. But yeah, in terms of that, like, there isn't like a lot of hits that these tools are probably getting, because most of those websites that are running those plugins have already been either patched or either hacked already and then patched. So
yeah. Well, an interesting thing that comes up later is really around the personnel who are responsible for updating things. And you've got a couple of points on this, but we'll sort of try to tackle them in one go. Whilst there's an increase in awareness of security on WordPress websites, no doubt because of publications such as your own, it would appear that there's not a lot of time, space, money provided. So who is responsible for updating things could be really crucial. And it says on your report that 53% of respondents stated that they updated their components weekly. Some perhaps as many as 20% did things daily, 18% possibly monthly updates happening. So that's quite an important blend in the picture. You know, the frequency of updates, crucial, I suppose. If you're leaving things for an entire month and are not keeping yourself up to date with the news, I'm sure that there's many websites where monthly is just off the charts. It would probably be more like every 6 months or possibly not at all. But then also the difficulty in actually finding a budget to do these things. And you make the point that many, many websites, be they run by an agency or an individual or just a solopreneur, they have no budget for this kind of thing. They're just crossing their fingers and hoping for the best. So do you want to talk around that, the people involved, the time that they've got, the frequency of updates and the budget that they've got?
Yeah, the frequency is an interesting take, because in terms of how fast we are often seeing attacks happen against websites when a new vulnerability or, like, let's say a critical vulnerability is being found in a plugin that the website is using, these, like, when we are not even talking about 0 days in this case, 0 days are the ones that nobody knows a vulnerability before it's already being attacked. But for example, sometimes a vulnerability is being disclosed, and after that, you know, hackers learn about that, and then they are going to basically exploit that. So there is like a cat and mouse game, like, who patches first? Is it the hacker who uses the vulnerability first? Is it like the website owner who is going to update this and kind of patches it? Or is it the hacker who, you know, manages to exploit this before the website owner manages to update it, right? And this time period is actually somewhere around 1 hour.
Wow.
So, so this is something that has to be also kept in mind, that, I mean, daily updates sound good as well. And, you know, from there on, the longer time you take for updating, you know, the more risk there is for the website. But the interesting thing is, like, the auto updates. Have you put, like, WordPress auto update into Google search and looked at into, like, what kind of articles are popping up?
No, but I can imagine you've got some interesting insights there.
Basically, majority of the articles are about how to turn off WordPress auto updates.
Yeah.
I remember when WordPress auto updates came, for the plugins, and basically, like, most of the kind of articles or, like, how-tos were about, like, how to turn it off, because people are still scared that the websites are going to break down if there's, like, you know, some feature breaking update coming for a plugin. So this is, yeah, something interesting about the updating side of things that we've been seeing over the year.
Yeah, that's a really interesting, difficult seesaw to think about. The idea being that if you switch off auto updates, which of course is available for multitude of things in WordPress, including plugins, you can just have click a button next to the plugin and it will just automatically update it. A lot of people concerned that the update might break the site. So in terms of them having to do some additional work to unbreak it or reinstall from a backup or whatever it is that they need to do, that concern in many cases overrides the possibility that there could be some vulnerable software there, a plugin which is vulnerable. I guess it's a difficult one to decide which way to go, but it's curious that a lot of people have decided to not implement automatic updates because presumably of the fear of things going astray in the way it looks or a plugin breaking. And of course, that is a legitimate concern. Just seen over the last week that a couple of major plugins had problems where they broke significant parts of the websites and they had to roll back those updates and then ultimately figure out a patch and then release that as the new update, which then got automatically updated. So I can see where people's concerns come from there. I guess your advice would be switch on automatic updates, because having a hacked website is probably better than having a modestly broken website.
Yeah, actually the other way around. So,
interesting.
I heard you were saying that the hacked website is better than broken website. So I was just saying that it's other way around. So it's better to have a broken website than a hacked website.
That's what I intended to say. If I got that wrong, I apologize. Yeah.
But yeah, basically, yeah, it's better to have a broken website because, I mean, you can at least put the maintenance mode on and, you know, do something about that and kind of fix it. And usually, like, how WordPress is behaving right now is that it also lets you know if something was breaking down. It doesn't, like, the site doesn't, like, just throw you a bunch of errors. It isn't like that anymore. So it isn't that much of a risk at that point anymore to be completely afraid of plugin auto updates.
Yes, and that's a good point. You will also hopefully receive an email with some kind of information about the problem that may have brought your site down. Okay, turning then to the budget. This is really interesting. The data that you've gathered, as much as 28% of people who responded said that they basically had zero budget to protect their websites. In other words, 28% of those people were just hoping for the best and crossing their fingers. And a further 27% said that they had a monthly budget of between $1 and $3. The numbers vary. You know, there are people who had significantly more and people who were somewhere in between. But quite an interesting spread there from zero to quite a lot. And the majority of these numbers are tending towards a very small budget. I guess that you would argue that ultimately it would be better to have something than nothing.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I guess the zero budget also means free plugins, right? You know, in a way of using like free security plugins, and then it doesn't mean 100% that they don't use anything or they don't have any measures in place.
Good point.
But at the same time, what we are also seeing is that security is still a hard sell, especially when we talk to agencies where the customers are like, I mean, aren't you supposed to take care of it? You know, kind of not understanding the point of that security is a thing that needs to be taken care of separately, that is a part of ongoing process, and that you should basically prevent them rather than just, you know, deal with the consequences cases later on. I mean, there was another good point where we also asked from the same people about how much they have paid for malware cleanups within the past, you know, year. And that this was like, you know, there was one, I think the highest responder was like, who said that he spent $4.8K on cleanups last year. So, I mean, that's a lot of websites that you can secure or like protect and basically even get like a some sort of a guarantee service on top of it, or like incident response assistance that like we offer, where, you know, a specialist are jumping in and fixing everything if something, you know, should happen, even though you had security in place.
Now, obviously, you're here representing PatchStack, and PatchStack is a commercial company. You're in the business of securing websites, but you're also in the business of paying your employees. So you need to pay to use the service. There was an interesting piece which got written over on the MasterWP website, and I will make sure to link to it in the show notes. And there's a further piece which we'll get to in a minute. It was written by Rob Howard on March the 14th, and it was called, "Is WordPress Security Getting Better or Worse?" In this piece, he sort of takes your report to task, and largely it's around the kind of language that you use. There's definitely merit in going and reading it. But you then, one of your team members kind of issued a non-rebuttal of that piece. But just for a couple of minutes, let's just delve into that. I think his concern is that the way that you portray the report is, let's use the word sensational. His argument would be that it's in your interest as a provider of security solutions to paint a picture which is, let's say, somewhat alarming. You know, there's all of these problems, and look at the enormous array of different vulnerabilities that there are out there. And therefore, you bring the statistics to bear that best represent the fact that there are problems. So I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that. And I will also mention the rebuttal piece. Again, on the same website, interestingly, MasterWP, it's by Robert Rowley. They're both Robs, so you probably have to read them one at a time. And this is called Rebuttal, How PatchStack is Improving WordPress Security. So I'm just giving you a platform here to reply to Rob Howard's piece, where he takes you to task for using sensational language and massaging the figures so that he accuses you of using sloppy statistics.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, like I'm not 100% sure like what is really sensational about that, but in a way where when we put together the whole white paper, we just basically looked at the numbers. I mean, we look at the numbers and we are kind of presenting what it is. I guess in a way, I understood that one of the things that maybe kind of, I guess what he thinks about is sensational is that there's 150% increase in vulnerabilities being discovered. It is something that we can just say, and it's a fact. I mean, the question, how do you interpret that, whether a negative or a positive thing? I mean, that needs more context, right? And the context we do give, I mean, the context is that just means that there is more vulnerabilities being identified, which is a good thing because the WordPress is, you know, getting more secure because of that. So when this post was published by Rob, we actually went over it and we were like, oh, actually, there's like a lot of cool points, because I mean, obviously, we are also a little bit tunnel visioned when we are kind of dealing with that much of data and looking into the problem that we are trying to solve. And then we're obviously talking about that, how we are talking in-house in a way. So we should, I get his, in terms of like a criticism that we probably should also be more specific in terms of how we are or like what our intentions behind that are, like whether we see it in a negative way or in a positive way. But I mean, yeah, like we were really happy about the piece that he wrote. We even shared his piece written, which wrote criticism about PatchDeck under PatchDeck Facebook page, under PatchDeck Twitter. We were like, hey, see what he wrote. I mean, there were really good points. And then later on, we obviously, you know, responded to that with kind of our take on what we actually meant by that and where we thought he may be in some cases wrong and where he was right as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, statistics can be in every walk of life. Statistics can be looked at in a variety of different ways. And you only have to look at virtually any parliamentary system on earth to realize that the opposition can present the same statistics in an entirely different fashion. And it's completely plausible and the numbers are correct. So, yeah, I think some of the things that he was saying was it would just be kind of nice to have some sort of background, some insight into. So, for example, does the increase, this 150% figure that was mentioned, is that because there are more plugins that are out there? How serious are these vulnerabilities that we're talking about? You know, if there's an increase, but 99% of those were benign and did virtually nothing, could they be lumped in as a 150% increase? Has the total number of plugins in the entire market changed? And what are your reporting methodologies in terms of what is it that you're actually trying to do from the report? Are you just trying to be a purveyor of information? Or is there a hope from the PatchDeck piece that some customers will come your way as well? So just those pieces, really.
Yeah, I guess like the statistics didn't come from like some internal data that we are not showing anyone. It's the CV, like it's the public CVEs that, you know, what we are one of the authorities to generate the publicly or like the internationally kind of standard vulnerability identification IDs. There's three companies in the space which can do that in the WordPress ecosystem, and we're one of them. So, like this vulnerability information, it's all public to the, you know, to everyone. We are just kind of showing like that's how much there was in 2020. That's how much there is in 2021. I mean, there is no kind of translation whether if it was actually not that much of an increase or not. The question isn't about like the increase, I guess, in general. I think the question is about why it was increasing. And the increase isn't because, at this point, the increase isn't because the WordPress is getting more plugins to the WordPress.org. We actually even, I think, in the rebuttal piece, have shown how much percentage the WordPress.org repo has grown over the year compared to the same period. The thing literally is because there's just more eyes. There's more people looking for the vulnerabilities in the plugins, and they're identifying more vulnerabilities. These vulnerabilities may or may not be in there already for years. It's the number of vulnerability that the 150% of increase in vulnerabilities found in WordPress ecosystem means that there was just 150% more vulnerabilities found in WordPress ecosystem. It basically means just that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to give that a positive or a negative meaning, I mean, it is definitely up to you. Of course, we could have tried probably present that in a better way. And maybe I'm not sure if we actually wrote in our white paper that we find this a good thing. I need to like double check it right really quickly. But we usually like anywhere we talk, we always say that it's a good thing. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting because the language that Rob would like is definitely more on the sort of optimistic side, isn't it? You know, so instead of bringing out the things that are going wrong, he would like to emphasize the things that are going right. So, for example, he rewrites something where the illustration is that there's problems, and he says that a possible alternative headline would be 0.65% of WordPress sites get an important update. So I guess it's stressing the negative
Would you read that?
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing about human nature, isn't it? Because you only have to look at newspapers, for example, or headlines in articles on the web to realize that, well, people are, they're drawn to controversy to some extent, aren't they? They like the sort of sensational aspect. And so, yes, interesting point. Yeah, really interesting point.
And like in our case, like when we released the white paper as well, we even saw in some cases where journalists were, you know, we didn't tell them what, like we didn't actually even send it out in that way that, oh, you need to use like some sort of headlines. But we did see the journalists just take out some piece of data and they would just make their own kind of headline based on that. I mean, in a way, I think people need to also think like, I understand that, okay, let's then talk about this issue in a so positive way that like nobody would even understand that there is like a problem at all. But is that our goal? I mean, if we want to make WordPress ecosystem more secure, we need to talk about those issues. I mean, there are issues and these issues are being solved that we are showing that there is like increased effort in solving those issues. But let's talk about those things. We shouldn't just kind of, you know, let's try to somehow, you know, sugarcoat it in a way.
Thank you. I will definitely mention both of those articles in the show notes. We're going to have to round it up because we're approaching the amount of time that we've got. Before we go, though, obviously we know that you're at PatchStack, which is at patchstack.com. But should anybody wish to reach out to you personally, are there any good ways for people to do that?
Yeah, anyone can reach out to me on Twitter. I think that's the easiest way to kind of reach out, either DM or just kind of tag me. It's at Oliver Seald. And then, if you want to, you know, look at what we are doing, if you're a plugin developer, you can always get like security testing for your plugin through PatchStack. If you're an agency and you want to kind of have security overview and kind of vulnerability overview of every single website that you have across, I don't know, your portfolio, then you can use PatchStack app for that. And for hosting companies, we also have a threat intel feed. So they would always know if new vulnerabilities are being reported to us by the ethical hackers community or if we are adding new items to the database from any other sources. So yeah, PatchStack database, PatchStack app, PatchStack audits. We are basically doing anything around WordPress plugins and kind of trying to make the whole ecosystem more secure.
Oliver Seald, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks, Nathan.